Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. It's already the 22nd of August. It's almost in the taillights, folks. Well, I'm your host this morning. Good morning to all. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
Well, hello, Austin. How's things going in your world, man?
Man, not too bad. I cannot complain, man.
Good.
Football's in full swing. And then we got baseball, too. We lost last night, but
I know it.
It's
well,
all good.
That home run problem that Verlander has, I don't know why it's just happening to him. Such a wonderful pitcher. Threw a two-hitter last night and lost 2-1. That kind of reminds me of the old Nolan Ryan days.
Before
when he'd
my
strike
time.
Out 10, 12, 14 batters and lose 1-0, 2-1, that kind of deal. So, but that was the kind of game it was last night. Their pitching was good, or either their pitching was that good or our batting was that bad. So,
yeah,
but,
hopefully.
Chirinos didn't have a problem hitting their pitchers last night. He was 4-for-4, and that's how the game ended. He tried to stretch a double into a triple so he could hit for the cycle, and it cost us because they were going to bat Brantley behind him, pinch hit him for Mareznick, and that could at least tied it up, maybe. Yeah. If ands and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
Yes, sir.
Game of inches and, you know, different calls. But anyway, well, let's roll, Austin. I'm ready to
let's
go,
it.
Man. It's all good. Our sponsors today, Mainstream Marketing, the Belleville Meat Market, Skeeter's Auto Service, McLean Trailers, Boyd's One Stop, and Texan Roofing. Right now in Galveston, 84 down on the island, and feels like 95 today. They're throwing in a 50% chance of precipitation. We'll just call it rain. That's what I like to call it. And with mostly cloudy skies and scattered thunderstorms this morning, high of 89 today. Winds will be southeast at 10 to 20. That rain chance is going to hang in there 50% into the nighttime hours and also 50% tomorrow with scattered showers and thunderstorms. South-southeast winds 10 to 20. After all these calm days, I think the wind's fixing to come back up again. And that rain chance 50% and local heavy rainfall could be possible, which is good. We could use a little bit of rain. Not a lot, but just a little would go a long way. So we'll take that. Tides for today. And if you call them tides, they were so weak yesterday. From what I hear, I didn't fish, but everybody that fished complained about the tides. But actually, the fish bit better yesterday than they have all week. Looking at our tides for today, we have a low at the Galveston Channel. It occurred at 2:12 a.m. this morning. It was a 1.0, so it's a pretty weak low. And then your high at 8:20 a.m. is a 1.2, so there's that weakness. Then the low this afternoon is at 4:04 p.m. It's an 0.4. Sunrise this morning, 6:51 a.m. Sunset, 7:53 p.m. Our moon phase is 68% on the backside of a full moon. Right now, offshore 22 nautical miles east of Galveston, we have a south wind at 13, gusting to 18. And looks like no water temp available this morning. It's 86 on air out there. But at Eagle Point, we have a south wind at 11 to 13. And at Morgan's Point, we have a south wind at 8 to 10. And water temps are running about 87 to 88 degrees this morning up in the bay. So water temps are quite warm. Barometric pressure at all these locations is about 29.95 inches and barely falling, just slightly falling. So that's pretty much it, the weather and the tides and how it all pans out. That's up to you. Go out and do your thing. Work magic. See if you can catch a limit of trout. And real quick, coming up, you know, you need to get your license renewed before September 1st, whether you're a guide or just a regular old fisherman. Best way, really, is I like going online and getting my super combo, ordering it that way. And they'll just mail it right to your door. That's a lot more convenient than going and standing in the line somewhere. Now, as guides, we have to go to a TPNW office and show our captain you know, license and credentials to get a state guide license. So, all right, well, let's oh, and kill switch lanyard, that's going to go in effect. You need to probably be practicing right now when you go fishing, wearing your kill switch, whether you put it around your wrist, clipping on a loop on your shirt or your PFD or around your leg, whatever's comfortable to you. Just try to get used to using it because it will be in effect September 1st, kind of like a seatbelt law. You better have it on or you'll be ticketed. And five fish trout limit goes in effect September 1st for the upper coast and Texas waters. So then you'll only be able to keep five speckled trout legally. You can keep as many as you want if you think you can get by with it, but I wouldn't recommend it. I think it's a good move. I think we need it. 4 or 5 years ago, I disagreed with that move. Of course, we didn't have a problem like we do now, but due to weather changes and added pressure on the resource, it is a smooth move. I agree with it 100%. And probably should have been instated a little bit earlier than this. It would have helped tremendously. All right, let's go over to Sabine Lake. Let's start off this morning with Captain Bill Watkins over in Sabine, see what's up with him. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you, brother. What's happening?
Oh, man, just living the dream and getting to talk to all you wonderful people.
Yeah,
about fishing
and the rest
and hunting.
Of us early morning sickos, right?
That's it. Y'all are some sick individuals, just like myself. Anybody's got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning is just not right.
That's right. We have mental problems.
We do. We got issues.
Normal people don't do that.
But it's good issues. We got fishitis, fishing pox, you know.
Yeah, at least our habits are good habits.
Yeah. Wait till duck season. Everybody will be even getting up even earlier, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure. Well, I'm looking forward to buying my new license. More expense.
I bet you are, man. Spending that money, breaking it over,
oh,
baby.
Yeah.
Come on with it.
Ain't nothing wrong with throwing money at the problem. Shoot.
Every time it's about $300. For you, it's a lot more because you've got to buy two guide licenses.
Yeah, I'm crowding $2,000 a year for a license.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Well, you know,
I don't think doctors or lawyers have to pay that much.
If I made as much as you, it wouldn't even bother me a bit.
Yeah, no step for a stepper, right?
Guy like you at Prince Money? Yeah, you got it, man.
That's right, Ben. Shoot, yeah. Yeah, I just call up the Fed and they print me up some.
That's it. Hey, yeah, print me some more off, man. I need some more Benjamins. About 100,000 of them.
Yep. Oh, shoot. Yeah, that's about what it costs to buy a boat nowadays, so, yeah.
Boy, you got that right. Jeez.
I sure would like to have one more new boat in my life, but I don't
think that's going to happen. I think I bought my last truck and my last boat.
I think that's not in my future. I think I'm going to have to be happy where I'm at.
I'll just stick it out. I got backups. I got my dad's old 93 that he bought brand new, and it was garage kept. It's in mint condition, and it's only got about 100,000 miles on it. For a 93, that's pretty good. And then I got my old 2003, and now I got my newer one. So I'll just stick with what I got.
There you go. Yeah, if I get this truck paid off, I think I'm done buying trucks.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's where I'm at.
It outstrips your ability to pay pretty soon.
We know when you get our age, you don't put as much emphasis on having new state-of-the-art stuff. We get set in our ways, and we kind of like what we have. And if it still works and functions properly and looks okay, hey, go with it.
Yeah.
That's the way I roll.
Yeah, that's I haven't bought a new gun in, oh, gosh, about 4 years.
Now, that's not right. You know, a man's got to spend a little money on some guns, you know. That's
Well, I just keep thinking about what would I like next, and I can't come up with anything better than what I've got. So.
Well, you probably got everything.
Well, I've got a set that works.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I've got every gun I've got is accurate, okay? And the only guns that are accurate are interesting, right?
That's it.
And I traded and bought and sold and piddled around for, you know, gosh, 40 years. And finally got some things that really shoot well. And that's, you know, some of it's a little bit customized and some of it just right out of the box. But if it shoots really good, why get rid of it?
You know, I've got some old 22 rifles that I had when I was a kid, you know, like 10 and 12 years old. I cannot even tell you how many bullets have been shot through all those old Winchester semi-automatics and, you know, old Henry's lever action and, you know, guns like that they're still dead on, dead accurate.
Yeah. Yep.
And it just, and still in good condition. I mean, just I wouldn't be afraid to pull one out and depend on it any day of the week.
Yeah, everything I've got's like that. So
old shotguns like that. You know, the old humpback Remingtons, humpback Brownings. You know, in the 16s and 12s, and just even got one old single shot breakover barrel 410 with a plastic stock. Remember when? I think that was a Ted Williams or Sears type.
yeah.
Shotgun back then. I got a 410 and a 20 like that, and I'm sure they still shoot. I hadn't shot them since I was a young teenager.
Yeah, but you got them anyway.
Oh
there
yeah. I mean, they're probably not any good to anybody else, but good pass me downs through the family when I kick the bucket. Nice. Somebody'll be happy.
Yeah, my wife calls all that gun jewelry. I
it
said,
is.
What do you mean gun jewelry? She said, that's family heirlooms.
That's
it's
it.
Like jewelry. You don't sell them. You keep them and hand them down to the kids.
Well, and I've had family members pass away and leave me, you know, a gun here or there. And that's kind of the way it was. My dad wasn't much into hunting after fighting two wars. He, you know, he'd go deer hunting and everything, but he didn't ever get into duck hunting and squirrel hunting and everything else like we were into. He just, you know, he just wasn't into it. He was into fishing big time. And I guess after you carry a gun over your shoulder for 6 or 7 years in foreign wars, you know, it's just...
That might tend to affect your...
Yeah, it's just no... Yeah. There's no excitement there for him, but no interest. But guns... Won't be long. We'll be talking a lot about that coming up. Hunting season's right around the corner.
That's for sure. I've already had to start doing a little bit of deer stand work and got more coming right away.
Well, wouldn't it be nice to get an early cool front in and chill things down, or not chill them down, but just cool them down?
Yeah.
Where these guys could get their, you know, work in ahead of time and make it a lot easier on them. Because I know the older I get, I go to working hard like that out in the heat and the hot sun. That's not good. I don't like
it. No. It's a little bit dangerous right now.
Yeah. These young guys, man, they're like gladiators. They can handle that stuff.
Yeah. You know, I never had any trouble when I was younger.
No, not at all.
And even in the boat now, I'm pretty careful about staying hydrated, you know, and getting protected from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
I wear one of those tube things over my head from about 9 o'clock on. I put that thing on.
Oh, so you got that ninja look out there, that Antifa
look? Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, don't forget you got it on and
wear over my head.
Yeah, don't forget you got it on and get out of the bay and walk into a stop and go one of those on. Might get a gun pulled on you. Hey, hang on. Let me do a quick commercial break, and I'll come right back to you, Bill. Stick with me,
sure
man.
Sure thing, man.
All right. Well, I need to tell everyone about – good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 419 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back over to Sabine Lake and talk some more with Captain Bill Watkins. All right, Bill, I'm back. Thanks for holding.
Well, we can do a little fishing report now, I guess.
Okay, come on with it, man.
There's a few trout showed up in the north end of the lake, just like we figured they would. So what I'm hearing is they're a little small. But they're a little small everywhere, so that's not...
Yeah, but, you know, the younger ones are always the first ones back. First one's back, the last one's to leave.
And I'm thinking that, everything's salted back up. Both our rivers are down now.
Yeah, it's just going
to
take
finally,
time.
Finally, after a whole, from November till just the other day, but everything's salted back up. You can find fish by following the ladyfish. That's pretty easy to do, but your better trout are going to be not under those schools. Your better trout are going to be, deeper water.
You know, it's strange how that works in your lake. Those trout and ladyfish school together, and usually here it doesn't happen that way. When you find them ladyfish, on occasion you'll find gaff top with them, but for the most part, they're just ladyfish. And I remember when I'd fish Sabine, I couldn't believe all the trout and the ladyfish schooled together, running shrimp like that.
Yeah. And occasionally you'll find birds working in deeper water, like over the channels, the mouth of the lake, and stuff like that. And that's going to be 99% gaff top and ladyfish and a few sand trout underneath them. That's going to be the game. You might catch a speck in there, but you probably won't be 10 inches long. But on up in the lake itself and down the edges of the channel and stuff like that, they will mix. They darn sure will. And where the ladyfish are breaking the thickest, there's usually a two or three trout right underneath them.
Yeah.
And they'll be better fish, too. So you can target them that way. But I've been catching most of my trout working channel drops and the jetties and the beachfront. When I can get out there, that's my better size fish right now.
Sure.
And at the rigs, the short rigs, there's fish there. You could go Texas side or Louisiana side and find trout. So, looks like our population's coming back nice and strong, but maybe that new law will help them get a chance to grow.
Get through the system, grow up, and become legitimate keepers, solid fish. Hey, I'm looking at the Star leaderboard. There's a 7-pound, 15-ounce gaff top on the board this morning.
That's a good one.
And it came out of your backyard over there, weighed in at Sportsman Supply. Guy was from Sire Lake, Michael Fesco. 7-15, 8-pound gaff top's a monster. That's a big one.
That is a monster.
Bet he had a head on him like Eddie Munster. Golly. That, everybody go, oh, man, I caught a gaff top today. I guarantee you it was 10 pounds. They look that because they fight so hard and they pull so good up next to the boat, and they got a big old head on them. But that tapered body behind them, that's what you got to look at.
That's an
8-pound gaff top, that's strong, Bubba. He may win with that one, I think.
He just might. I do believe that one will.
And there's another one right behind him, that Jared Jessup guy. He had been leading the whole time with a 7-4. He weighted in at Sportsman Supply also. All these big gaff top on the board are all weighted in down your way
Got big gaff top. Oh, my goodness.
Y'all do. Y'all are some gaff top raising machines over there.
Yeah, if you fish some jetties out there up and down the inside of the channel, there's some whoppers out there. That's pretty much where they catch those things. And occasionally you catch them up by the bridge and up and down the channel that way. But in between the jetty walls, you can't miss.
Yeah.
Yeah, shoot, man.
Have at them. Go get them.
Yeah, the doggone things are good to eat. It's just that we hate handling them. Them old big fins are dangerous, and they're slimy. But if you get past all of that idea, once you fillet the thing, I fillet mine from the rib cage to the tail. And then when I'm skinning them, I shave my knife a little bit to where I get that little bit of red meat off the back.
Yeah.
And doggone, you wind up with, a pretty white fillet.
Yeah, it's a catfish.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's embarrassed to bring them in. Oh, yeah, Captain Gaff Top, right.
Well, they still don't taste as good as a freshwater cat.
No, they don't, but they've got the same texture of meat.
Same, a catfish and, then our saltwater cats like your gaff top and hardhead and speckled trout have something in common. They all have a high lentil fat content in their meat.
Yeah.
That's why they fry up so nicely.
I took 15 pounds of filleted gaff top to a family reunion in East Texas about
they ate every one of
25
them, didn't
years
they?
ago, and they said, oh, that's the finest catfish we've ever eaten.
Yep.
It doesn't even taste muddy or nothing. What kind of catfish is that? I said, that's high fin blue.
High fin blue, baby.
High fin blue, yep. I fooled them all. And they ate every bite of it and said it was wonderful. So that
it's
proved
a special
my point.
Special brackish water model catfish, a new breed, high fin blue.
Yeah, just kind of like a tilapia.
Yes, sir. Oh, no, don't bring that up. I wouldn't.
I won't
never
eat those.
That is not going to happen for me.
No, I'd rather eat gaff top any day. I'd rather eat sheephead than I had that.
A sheephead's good if you clean it. You know, it's just, they're tough to clean. It's like almost like filleting an armadillo. But hey, once you get them clean and keep them getting spined so bad and everything, that's a pretty white fillet of meat.
Yeah, buddy. It,
you know, you
it's
can take
not
that
much oven there.
Cut it up and chunk it and sear it in a pan with some olive oil and butter and a little bit of garlic in there, and it's
and
almost like it's almost like crab meat. You can stuff a flounder with it. Oh Lord!
All they eat is shellfish. They don't eat anything else. I mean,
oh, they're pure. They're like corn-fed deer, man.
That's right.
Hey, I love barnacle-fed sheephead.
Barnacle, yeah. Anything that can eat barnacles off of a steel piling has got to have your respect.
Have you ever seen that picture of the sheephead they'll put up on Facebook every once in a while? It'll have the silver and gold teeth on it.
The grill.
Yeah, look at the grill on this fish, man.
Yeah. Hey, man, they deserve it.
They do. If you don't think he won't bite you, stick your finger in his mouth.
Oh my God, yes, sir. We're throwing the standard stuff, Little John's, and I'm throwing Zoom flukes right now a little bit.
Yeah.
I've got lots of little pogey running the channel.
I'm gonna try something next week. See if you got, you know, with these fish as hot as it's been, and they're getting so bottom oriented in certain areas. You know, when you're fishing real deep structure. Will Kirkpatrick sent me some, remember the old cream worms that had the air chamber in them that float?
Yeah.
You know, you just got to use a smaller short shank hook so you don't puncture the air bladder so it'll fill up with water. How about Carolina rigging one of those with like a little bullet weight or something to where you can take it down to the bottom, but the worm will float up out of the shell? And work it real slow there with that worm floating about a foot off the bottom through those fish. You think they might suck that in?
I figure they might suck that in. You better believe it.
I'm going to try that just to see, you know, with that scent and everything in them. You just never know.
Well, I tried a drop shot rig
fishing them deep fish, yeah?
And I've had, I'm not really catching trout on them that well, right? The jig head has been better.
Right.
But I had occasion where I'd be fishing redfish in a channel, a little small ditch or something where they congregate, and that drop shot rig will knock those redfish out. They can't resist that wiggle wiggle. They'll come take it and go with it right now.
Cool.
But the trout will hit it too, but like I throw a jig until they lose interest in it, and then I'll turn around and put a drop shot in there, same lure.
Right.
And let it down there, you know. A Little John just hooked through the head. It's crazy. You think, well, what self-respecting fish would bite that thing? But they will.
You know, I know a guy that couldn't get any live bait because it was scarce, and he fishes with a popping cork and live bait. And I said, hey, why don't you rig a Little John like this? Just take that treble hook and stick it through the side and bring it out the right in the middle of the front there and let it hang on that hook like a shrimp. And just fish that way and pop it. I said, it's got a sin in it. He caught a limit of trout like that. He said, man.
Hey.
He said, they eat this thing up. I said, yeah, you're doing the same thing you'd be doing with a shrimp. All it is, it's just not alive. It's just, you know, it's dead bait, basically.
Yeah, hey, doggone thing will catch fish. I don't care. It may not look like anything except a rat tail suppository.
Yeah, that's
it. Put it on there and fish the darn thing and watch what happens.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, Wayne Venton brought them over here, And well, I mean, years ago when he was still doing the show, he brought him over here and he said, "Hey, man, I got a new lure." And I said, "What the devil is that thing? What's that supposed to look like?" He said, "I don't know, but I'm going to throw it." And within about 15, 20 minutes, I'm going, "Hey, you got any more of those?" He said, "Yeah, they're $10 a piece."
Yeah. They're always high when they're catching fish.
And after that, I've been on them ever since. We were fishing the North Levee Wall, and some good trout down there that day, and they were eating that thing. So, man, pretty soon all of us over here were using them. And we don't go out there without them.
All right, man. Well, I've got to move on to my next commercial break. If somebody wants to come over and fish with you, how do they get a hold of you, bud?
409-786-2018.
Or fishthebeanlake.com.
Yep, I'm on my way to get in the truck right now. Got to go again.
All right, Mr. Watkins. I'll check in with you Saturday. You have a good day. Stay cool if you can.
I'll try.
All right,
Take care, buddy.
Thanks, man. All right. That's Captain Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake. It's time for a break, and it's 4:31 here at Sports Radio 610. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back after these messages.
Pulled off another one of my stunts that I haven't done in 10 years. I'm always doing, you think when you get older, you're going to outgrow doing something stupid.
No, it doesn't happen.
No.
I got bad news for you, Glenn.
You did it stupid when you were young. You do it stupid when
you're
older.
That's right.
If you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to The Outdoor Show.
Well, many years ago, he put me on blood pressure medicine. And I was really worried about it. I said, "Hey, man, this is serious stuff, putting me on blood pressure medicine." I said, "You know, this is going to mess up my sex life." And he goes, "Well, if it does, tell your wife I'm off on Friday." So that was really good.
Captain Mickey will tell you where to go and what to throw.
Now, time for more of The Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 4:36 in the Bayou City. Let's run up Conroe Way now and check in with the fish dude and see what's up with him. Richard, good morning. How you doing, man?
I'm fantastic, Mickey. How about yourself?
I can't complain. It's all good. Waiting on,
you know it is.
Waiting on fall, baby. Waiting on fall.
Hey, it's getting closer and closer. I started noticing that a few weeks ago because we're starting to lose daylight a little bit more and a little bit more every day. Getting a little bit less in there.
Days are getting shorter. Nights are getting longer.
Every morning the sun's coming up just a little bit later. You know, it was us, about the end of July. I was telling everybody to meet me at the marina around 6:15. Now you got to be 6:15, 6:30, because 6:30 is about when the sun's coming up. Now it was coming up 15 minutes earlier 3 weeks ago, so it's crazy how it starts doing that. And I notice it. A lot of people don't, but I start noticing it pretty quick. And then, you know, then we're gonna have time change coming in here, and then it's gonna be dark. But it'll be hunting season then. That's the best part. That's the best part about all of it. But then hopefully it'll cool down some too. But it's not been too bad as long as that wind will blow. But goodness, that wind just ain't blowing worth a flip out there right now. It ain't blowing right now. Not hardly at all. Not hardly a breath of a wind. But it feels good. And it's a pretty morning. But other than that, it's gonna get hot. And the fish are going to bite. I hope the bass bite. I'm going to go bass fishing today. I didn't have a trip or nothing. I got to go pick up the trolling motor. So he got it fished back up for me.
It took him forever to get it going. It just tore up.
No. Sean had taken a vacation, so I was going to cut him some slack. I just told him, don't be in no big hurry. So he got back from vacation, got everything in. I dropped it off yesterday, and he actually had it ready yesterday, but I was doing a little house sitting some yesterday. My son having some work done on his house while them babies is in the hospital, and they're actually probably going to come home tomorrow, hopefully, you know, keeping fingers crossed. They're still up there in the hospital, you know. I think we're on week number 5 or maybe even number 6 now.
It'll take a while. Once you get them home, it'll all be good.
Yeah, and that's what we're all shooting for, and hopefully everything's starting to happen this week. So it'll be good. Kind of, you know, trying to run back and forth down there as much as I can to see them and see how they're doing and all that good stuff. And then and getting up here like today, you know, here's my problem, Mickey. Now, I don't have a trip, but I want to go bass fishing. But I also, on my other boat, I need to change the oil in it. I need to change the oil in my truck. I mean, you know, as you get to the point to where I just want to go fish more than I want to do all that other stuff. But
well,
I got to do it. So sometimes
that's your call, brother. Don't ask me to tell you what to do, because I'd end up going fishing and not doing any of that.
That's what I do. The problem is, I'll get home this afternoon when it's hot as a firecracker after I go pick up my trolling motor,
and then you won't want to do it.
Then I won't want to do it, but I'll be out there doing it, you know, because I'm gonna change the impeller out and stuff like that too, because you know you change those impellers out because they'll start overheating on you after about a year. You start.
Sounds like to
me
you ought to just scratch bass fishing this morning. Just go ahead and get your stuff done, man.
No, that ain't gonna happen. I can tell you that right now. I mean, that's just. I would love to say I could do that, Mickey, but you know, I'm telling you, I'm addicted to this stuff. I know it. I know you did. I mean, that's just one of the things. I try to do it every day. You know, I'll try to get out there and go fish and then come in and do my chores, which is changing oil and, you know, welding this up or doing that or whatever. It don't matter. Something's got to be done on the boats or trailers or whatever. And speaking of trailers, I think I'm about ready to give up on this. And here before long, I'm going to have to go break down and visit McLean and see if they got me a war horse on a trailer that I can load this boat on.
For which boat are you wanting to put it under your 24?
That
your
24 Pathfinder.
Yeah.
Pathfinder.
Yeah. Right. All you got to do is call them and order it, and they've got all the patterns and drawings and everything for every boat in the world. And they can build it right there, and you go pick it up, take it home, drive your boat on it, and you might have to make one or two little adjustments on your winch, and you're good to go.
That's it. See, that's the thing. You know, you always have to have the fine tuning you got to do. You know, you always have to make those winch adjustments, or maybe slide it forward or back on the trailer. You know, those are two things that I really look at when I get those new trailers. I want my weight distributed right on there, so my truck's not dragging too hard. You know, you see them guys going down the road and their dang bumper's almost hitting the ground, and
but they ain't using real trucks, man. They're using we run them Bubba trucks. You weight that down, you got a load.
Oh, I guarantee you start loading mine down.
Them trucks we run, they don't even know that Pathfinder's back there.
No, I ain't got a clue, because that's an F-350 on mine. Everybody looks at it, F-250. No, I get that one ton. You get three-quarter ton, it's fine. I ran them for a while, half tons, they just give up to you.
Well, the 2500s now and the 250s, they're like the old one-tons used to be, the 350s and 3500s.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's, the towing capacity on them is incredible.
Yeah, you know, that's the whole thing right there. And my problem is I want somebody that can build me a 600 horse motor out of the box that I can drive down the road. I like that horsepower. Good night, I like that horsepower.
I used to back in the day. I'm a torque man now. I like that torque.
I tell you what, though, you get the horsepower on them diesels like this one I got.
You can trick them out.
You can get them boom. Yeah, you can.
Know, once they get out of warranty, go ahead and put your programmer and everything on there, and you can do a lot of. That's why I want to get Ty Lothringer in here one Sunday from Skeeters and talk about stuff like that.
Because he can tell you.
Yeah, he's been super busy since his dad passed away, and running that business and all the stuff he's got going. But I'm going to get him in here one Sunday. We're going to talk about tricking stuff out like that.
Shoot, because I'll tell you what, that's to me, when I'm dragging them boats, that's one thing that just it absolutely aggravates the mess out of me, because I go down the road a lot. You know, I put 30,000 miles at least between the lake and the house every year. And it's when you're going down there and you're going up and down these hills, I always like driving my thumb. I use my cruise control. So when you're dragging a boat and you're using a cruise control, you'll lose speed on hills. Most people do. I don't. But most people do. And whenever you, when you're going through there, because I got the programmer and stuff all on there, when I go up a hill, I'm going at less. I may lose a mile to 2 miles an hour, maybe at the most if it's a big hill. Yeah, but that thing I got, it goes. So these cars, they always, they always assume that just because you've got a trailer and stuff that you can't keep up going up a hill. Mine just hums right along. I don't lose any speed, and they always act like they're going to pass me when I start up a hill. They can't, because I'm not varying my speed any, unless they're just hauling tail. That's the only way. That's the only way they'll come around me, because I'm going speed limit. That's what I do. Always speed limit plus two, maybe. That's just to make up for them hills. And then when I come down off of them, that's the thing about them trucks anymore. Good night. They're set up to pull. When you get them bigger trucks like that, they're set up to pull a load going up and down. They control your speed going down, and they control it going up. And it's, because I remember years ago driving between here and Toledo Bend, just dragging a bass boat. Those hills headed over that direction, good night. And I was running a gasoline half-ton back then.
Yeah, don't tell you, that truck's tongue was hanging out when he'd get to the lake. From all
it was.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, it was more smooth out.
I mean, if you're going to pull boats and serious about it and you're going to do it a lot, you got to upgrade. Half-tons are they're fine for little short ventures, pulling to the ramp stuff. But if you're a puller, you got to go big, man.
There ain't no doubt. And then when you start dragging distances, that's another thing. When you start,
it is.
Well, like when y'all fish those redfish deals, you may be in Florida, you may be on the Texas coast. There ain't no telling where you're liable to be. So you got, 12, 14 hours of dragging a boat around just one way to go fish.
Yeah.
That's not uncommon.
Yeah, to go be miserable.
Yeah, exactly. We love it, though.
I know. We loved misery.
All right, Richard. That's like all the tournaments and stuff I used to fish. It would be the prettiest days before. As soon as the tournament day come in, it's either cold, windy, rainy, or sleet, something.
Out of all the tournaments I fish, I think pre-fishing probably only helped me maybe three or four times, because you could always depend on it. The wind was going to switch or the weather was going to change, and everything you had locked down, it's gone. It's over with.
And that's it.
You just might as well wing it half the time.
And you're probably, most of the time my pre-fishing did about the same. You actually figured it all out during the day while you were fishing. I've done that so many times.
You may not have get to fish where you were intending on, but at least you had a pattern. You had a time and a pattern and water depth and all that, and that saved your bacon a lot.
Choo-choo.
All right, Richard. I got to roll, man. I got to go talk to Charlie now. So, hey, if somebody wants to come up, do their thing at Conroe with you, how do they get a hold of you, bud?
Well, make anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com, or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, bud. Take care, Richard. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir.
I'll talk to you Saturday. All right.
Yes.
All right, later. All right, that's Richard Totch up at Lake Conroe. Now let's go down to Matagorda and talk to Captain Charlie Paradosky. Charlie P., what's up?
Morning, Mickey. What's happening?
Good morning, sir. How are you doing, man?
Well, I'm dragging. Been fishing all week.
I know it. You sound a little tired this morning. I can hear it in your voice. You old codger, you. That's what I called. Hey, Bob Hardy, his birthday was yesterday, and I sent him a text and told him, hey, a couple more years, I'll be calling you an old codger like Charlie. Oh, Hot Rod Bob is what I call him now. That's what his nickname is, because the bait's Lee's and
Hot Rod Bob. That's a good
Hot Rod Bob. You can't beat that one. That's a good one.
Well, I've been at it all week long, and I think the only slow day I had was Monday. We had that straight west wind, and I'm not sure that I didn't miss them somewhere. They caught a bunch of little fish, but we didn't catch much. But it's been good ever since yesterday. We caught all those trout on top waters, just pecking around on them.
Yeah.
You know, walking grass beds and.
That's fun. That's fishing, man. That is real fishing.
Yeah. And one of them even lost a giant down there. Really, really big fish.
Really? Cool.
Yeah. But then about 12 o'clock, I said, listen, I have not caught any redfish. These tides are super low. Let me run back and try gut where they stack up in there sometimes. And holy cow, I had hell pulling them out of there, getting them to quit. They caught so bad many redfish.
Oh, Lord. Well, that's good.
I
found them.
Yeah.
Well, that's thick. Experience pays thick. Off, man. Low tide like that, stacked in a gut. That's, hey. You caught them because you've done it before. You knew to do that, so.
I mean, you could catch them on top waters. You catch them dragging it on the bottom. They were just in there.
Screwdrivers, forks and knives, spoons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bear hook.
Bear hook.
Nasty right place at the right time, you know.
That's it, man. What does Cliff Webb call them? Mud apes.
Yeah.
Mud apes.
Cow. And they just hadn't been on the shorelines. They just been out there in the middle of that bay, you know. But it's about time for them to start pulling down on those shorelines.
Yeah.
And I get the same crew today. So.
Do you? Well, that's cool.
We'll.
Y'all will be tired of looking at each other by noon today.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking I can wear them out pretty quick today.
Grind them down, man.
Yeah.
Send them home tired.
Yeah, buddy. So what about, we got some weather moving in. It looks
there's
going to go more toward Louisiana.
Yeah, and they're throwing that 50% in there for us today, tonight, and tomorrow, just as probably CYA.
But
I don't know whether it'll come down your way or not. It's hard to say. She's going to update it here in a minute. I got it on a local channel. I like this one weather girl. She's pretty good. She'll update on her next weather report and give us a better idea on how that thing's going to move. And it, you know, all purposes, it looks like Louisiana's going to get the most of it. Let them have the rain.
Yeah.
Hell, it rained all week over there last week.
Yeah, they've been getting it.
Yeah, they've been getting a lot of moisture off the Gulf over there.
Let it keep going over there, too. They don't need it. You know, it hadn't been blistering hot out there this week either, though. It's, you know, we've had a breeze, and you just don't feel that heat till you get back to that concrete. Just hadn't been that bad. But.
No, it's a lot cooler out on the water. You as soon as you pull that boat up to the ramp, though, and get out, you can tell a difference, a big difference.
Yeah. Oh. There hadn't been a lot of pressure over here. There hadn't been a lot of people fishing this week. But come Fridays and Saturdays, buddy, they're here. Ain't no doubt about that.
It's on.
We'll see what we can do today. How about you? Did you fish this week?
No, I didn't. I don't have any trips right now.
Yeah.
I'm not, I'm going to fish all next week, but I chilled. I stayed comfortable.
Well, you know, I don't have much next week, so I'm going to chill next week. And I got to get driver's license renewed. I got to get, go buy all those.
Man, what's the deal with the driver's license deals? I see people are complaining. It's all over the state, you know, about the wait you have to endure to go get, you know, to renew your driver's license. And some places are only open from 8 to noon and just one lady taking care of them or what have you. And just, well, I'm just hearing nothing but nightmares about that.
It's a joke. I got through early fishing what was it, Tuesday? And went to Bay City, and I already knew about the damn birth certificate, but was told the week before that you didn't need it unless your driver's license was expired. And I waited in line for an hour and a half and got up there. Well, where's your birth certificate? And I said, well, my driver's license didn't expire. I said, it don't make no difference. You got to show it.
I mean, so I had to, what is it coming to that we have to show a birth certificate to renew a driver's license we've had for 50 years? Unbelievable.
Man.
Unbelievable, man. I guess, when we go, vote this year, we'll have to take all that with us, too.
Well, you're probably going to need it when you die now, I guess. I don't know.
Hey, prove you were born in the United States or you're not going to be buried here. You know, here we go.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of laws and just like our fishing. The more laws we get, the less freedom we got out there, man. Let's just keep making them up.
It's all right. We already seen the best of it.
Yeah, they can pass any law they want to. They'll never get it back like we saw it.
Nope.
Too many people doing it. Too much pressure. Too many people.
Yep.
All right, man. Well, Charlie, somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing with you. Throw them out a number, bud.
713-725-2401.
All right, my friend. All right, have a good day. Good luck.
Take care, Mickey.
Thanks, Charlie. See you, man.
Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.